Hey everyone, welcome to the Rapids Thugcast, episode 5, the dirtiest podcast in football, according to FC Dallas fans, and now one Portland fan from Stumptown Footy, and the official podcast of BurgundyWave.com, SB Nation's home for the Colorado Rapids. I'm Chris White, you can call me Ooze, and I'm here by myself today. Long, not funny at all story. Originally, Ben and I were doing a podcast together earlier in the day. Jed wasn't there because he apparently has a life and better things to do than this again. But happy birthday to Jed. It was his birthday a few days ago. I was going to get him a Russian call girl wearing a Matt Pickens jersey. She even had the beard, but unfortunately he's not here. So anyway, Ben and I were doing a podcast together. We got about 10 minutes in. And I've been having terrible computer issues lately. You may have noticed I haven't been posting up to my usual rate either. So my Skype kind of cut out when I was trying to... When we were talking. Audacity kept running, but Skype cut out, so we couldn't continue. He kept recording, apparently, but... I'm just winging it and doing it myself this week. So it's going to be shorter than usual, but that's probably a good thing since I probably can't ramble on for 40 minutes about this, even if I wanted to. Either way, congratulations to the Colorado Rapids on finally getting a win last week. It took them long enough. A 9-game undefeated streak by the squad, which is the longest in Rapids history. It was the longest in Rapids history last week when they drew Philadelphia and put it up to 8. But they finally broke the draw streak, which had also been the longest in MLS history, which 6 games, I believe. And they did it in a... It was a more even game than you'd get the impression from talking to either supporters group. I heard people from both the Rapids and the Timbers sides after the game saying, "Oh, we outplayed you by a mile. No, we outplayed you. It was a total demolishing. No, we out." It was an even game. Portland had the advantage in shots toward goal, but the Rapids did much better with their shots and put more of them at Troy Perkins than the Timbers did with Matt Pickens. Portland won possession, and they had more passes, which watching the game makes total sense to me because the Rapids, Gary Smith is a very good tactical coach, and when he went into Portland, it's obvious that he told the boys, you know what, this Portland, very good at home, very good attacking team at home. They're going to try and draw fouls. They're going to try and get set pieces. That's how they get their goals. So, play conservatively, sit back, and play on the counter. That's what the Rapids did for a large majority, especially in the second half. Like, in the first half, the Rapids kind of tried to take advantage of Portland's back line and just try and sneak a few goals in. They had the steamroller line out there of Connor Casey and Caleb Fallon. That's the same line that scored 4 goals against DC United. So, they put out Fallon and Casey, and it was quite effective. There were good chances on goal for the Rapids. There were also good chances on goal for Portland. Matt Pickens had to play a fine game. So did everyone in the back line. Even Scott Palguta didn't have a terrible game, which is about the best praise that one can levy on Scott Palguta at this point. But and by the time the second half rolled around, it looked fairly obvious that Portland was going for the kill every time they got the ball. So the Rapids started to sit back. They let Portland possess. They let Portland get the ball near the area. And then they usually got a steal or just made them take a less than stellar shot. Portland took a lot of shots that went wide or over. So Gary Smith's plan, it looked like, unfortunately to me, it looked like the Rapids were playing for the tie by the time the game was over. The fact that they won the game, not the worst situation to win a game in. Good ball into the box from Jamie Smith. bounces around the area a long time, full on gets a whack at it. I think Amariqua had the original header on it. And it went down. And I think it was Folon who tipped it over to Drew Moore. Folon, by the way, is the assist leader on the team. Who saw that coming? Two assists for Folon. More than Jamie Smith has, which is not a statistic I would have guessed would have happened at the start of the season. Either way, good goal for Drew Moore. That's the kind of goal we come to expect from Drew Moore. He's currently second on the team in scoring as well, which it's been a strange kind of year scoring-wise on the scoring charts. Moore's up there. Smith and Larenowitz are tied for team goals leader. Casey's got two. Cummings has got two. Having Casey and Cummings back together will undoubtedly be helpful, as they should be against the Galaxy. We'll get to that in a minute. Ben and I had wanted to discuss a bit about the U.S. national team, and there's really not much to discuss with them. I guess I'll cover it a little bit here, but the men's national team, terrible. A terrible showing in the Gold Cup so far. They went 2-1 the first time they ever lost a group stage game in the history of the Gold Cup. And considering how the U.S. hasn't always had great teams in the Gold Cup, so that's surprising. It's kind of sad, actually. Especially the fact that it came to Panama. Panama is not a better team. Fort Lauderdale beat Panama. Like, the NA... Are they an NASL squad? Oh, a minor league team from Fort Lauderdale beat Panama earlier. In the U.S. men's national squad, featuring Donovan and Dempsey and... Well, Donovan and Dempsey couldn't beat Panama. And they were really outplayed by Panama the entire match. Like, Clarence Goodson, terrible on defense. He got a goal for himself, but it wasn't... No real credit to him for that goal. He just really had to move forward and head it in. Not a greatly skillful goal. I guess good on him for getting a goal after allowing the first goal single-handedly almost. Yeah, this is a U.S. men's national team that's not ready for prime time. We saw it against Panama. The Canada game wasn't all that impressive. Altidore probably shouldn't have scored on that first chance that went in. I call that the Josie Altidore special. You know, he shoots it right at the keeper. It goes in somehow. Yeah, he did the same thing against Spain, remember? I think we all remember that Spain game. Not the recent Spain game where they lost 28-0 or whatever the final score was of that one. I stopped paying attention around halftime, but the one where they actually beat Spain. I think this Gold Cup right here is slowly killing the whole "oh, Bob Bradley beat Spain" rhetoric. I can't talk today. I've never done this by myself. I'm scared, guys. I'm scared. Help me, Ben. Help me. But I think that rhetoric is dead now. Simply because ever since the World Cup, and they really didn't play all that well in the World Cup either. They should not have beat England. I think we all know they should not. Well, they didn't beat England, but USA beats England 1-1. I remember that headline. Anyone else remember that headline? They shouldn't have tied England. They didn't have enough good chances other than the one that Dempsey inexplicably had Robert Green stick into his own net. They should have beat Slovenia, but if it weren't for the referee at the end, you know, we complain all you want, but refs are going to be refs. So we probably should have beat Slovenia, but we didn't. And had the U.S. not allowed early goals, as they always do against Slovenia, we probably wouldn't have had to watch them come back to draw it 2-2 and possibly win 3-2 if it weren't for the ref from Mali, who we all despise and remember the sight of. And Algeria, again, they should have scored early in the game. Very early in the game, I don't know the name of anyone on Algeria's team, but they had the player who whacked the crossbar very early in the match. Howard, lucky that it didn't go. And, of course, needed a miracle strike from Donovan to advance out of the group in stoppage time at the end of the match. So, just looking at the past few years of United States men's national team play, fire Bob Bradley. That's all I can really say. The U.S. does not... Bob Bradley is a coach. The U.S. does not need a coach. They need a manager. And it's blatantly obvious to anyone who watches that Bob Bradley is the USSF's yes man. And that's what they want from him. He's not a particularly good coach tactically. He's not particularly good at picking a good, solid team unit for his squad. He puts people into his doghouse real fast. There's a chance we'll never see Charlie Davies play again. As stupid as that sounds, the fact that Bob Bradley did not bring him up to the Gold Cup, or even seem like he wanted to bring him up to the Gold Cup. He went to D.C. to scout him for that game versus D.C. in the Rapids, but maybe it's the fact that Davies went out injured in the first 40 minutes or so of that game, but Bradley never really looked to me like he wanted Charlie Davies on the Gold Cup roster, and Charlie Davies is the best striker in the United States right now, in my opinion. Jozy Altidore, he was good for a while in 2009. He had a good strike against Guadalupe, but I don't see it. I still think he's the fat Robbie Finley. That's what I've always called him. And the fact that we need Chris Wondolowski as our third man off the bench. Like, Chris Wondolowski is supposed to be the bench spark. And there's... The U.S. will never win a major tournament with Chris Wondolowski on the squad. I'll say that now. The fact that Robbie Rogers had to be called up, and the fact that he's on the bench for games, even over Freddie Adu. Freddie Adu, I would rather have on the bench than Robbie Rogers, because at least Freddie Adu, I think, still has the potential to be at least a moderately decent player on the team. I know he's in, what, the Turkish second division right now, but that's really just the fault of his work ethic, and he got everything handed to him on a silver platter when he was 15 years old. He just got picked up by DC United, was given a contract, said, oh, you're going to be the future of the men's national team, don't worry about it. And of course, that didn't wind up playing out, but he played fairly well with DC United, then just got too full of himself and wound up with Salt Lake for a hilarious couple of matches. Now he's gone, but I'd like to see Freddie Adu have another chance at the U.S. men's national team, at least over Robbie Rogers. As long as it's over Robbie Rogers. Robbie Rogers, not U.S. men's national team material. Breck Shea, another guy who Bob Bradley could have brought up. A guy he's shown his potential in Major League Soccer. That goal he scored against Sporting Kansas City, I was in a live stream at the time. Someone called that goal Messi-like. And it really was. He got through five defenders. And Sporting Kansas City, not a terrible defensive squad. And they have a great goalkeeper as well, Jimmy Nielsen. And everyone looked dumb against Breck Shea on that. So Shea, another player who's not on the national team. Who's on the national team? Lehigh? I guess? It's just the states are not improving. The states are getting less good as the years go on. In 2010, probably going to be the United States' only chance at a World Cup, and they squandered it. That was the best squad that the United States has ever put out, and it might be the best one that they ever put out. At the rate that USSF is slowly disintegrating the United States football team, it's almost farcical the way that the team is treated by USSF. Young players get squandered. Some just players get sent to the doghouse of Bob Bradley, like Davies. Old players, Donovan and Dempsey both going to be past their prime by the time 2014 shows up for Brazil, and it's going to be in Brazil. So Brazil will be favored to win that. Brazil probably will win that World Cup. And you kidding me? In front of the home fans? There's still... People don't talk about Brazil now that Spain have come into their own and won a World Cup. Argentina still have the best player in the world, but Brazil, you can't count Brazil out. And in 2014, the United States isn't going to win it. In 2018, Dempsey and Donovan will both be retired, most likely. And what do we do then? I don't see anyone who's as good or better than Donovan or Dempsey coming into the United States midfield in the future. Jones, not a bad player. So I heard someone tell me that he could be the next Landon Donovan. I'm saying that with air quotes. You can't see me, obviously. But I'm not seeing it from him. Lehigh, maybe? No. Bedoya is not that great a player. Obviously, up at striker, we never have anything up at striker. The United States, are you kidding me? Look at who we trotted out in the World Cup. Robbie Finley and Jozy Altidore. That was our starting top line. And how many goals combined between them in the World Cup? None. How many shots on goal did Robbie Finley have in the World Cup? One. 200 minutes of football. Well over 200 minutes of football for Robbie Finley in the World Cup. One shot on goal in all of the games he played. I mean, Edson Buttle had like 35 minutes total in the World Cup, and he had one shot on goal. And that is the best that Bob Bradley thought that we could put out there. A guy who plays 200 minutes of football with one shot on goal in a team that had Landon Donovan giving service into the box and Clint Dempsey providing service into the box and Steve Cherundolo, whose service isn't terrible, but providing service into the box. And Robbie Finley couldn't get a single ball on goal, except for one. I don't even remember which one it was. It obviously wasn't spectacular. At least I remember some of Josie's bad shots on goal just because they were so terrible. Finley's wasn't even noteworthy. Yeah, that's the easiest way to get me to start crabbing about something. That's how. Just get me started on the men's national team and not the cheeriest topic in the United States right now. A wise man once said, the United States will never win the World Cup. And they're right. And this is why. Great chance for Klinsmann to take over the U.S. men's national team. If he was currently managing the national team, I would have a lot more hope. Simply because he wanted to rebuild the very formation of United States soccer, the youth system for the national team, the player management, everything. He would have rebuilt it from the ground up. But USSF didn't want that. They want a yes man, and that's what Bob Bradley is. They couldn't even find a yes man who's a decent coach. But that's what we got. That's what we got. That's what we're getting. And we're probably going to have Bob Bradley until 2014, no matter how bad they do in this Gold Cup. And something tells me they won't make it past Jamaica. Speaking of Jamaica, on a lighter note, and back to the Rapids. I just spent, 15 minutes talking about the U.S.? Back to the Rapids. This is a Rapids podcast, supposedly. Supposedly. We try and talk about the Rapids occasionally, you know. Omar Cummings, back. Finally. This will be, if he plays with Connor Casey, obviously. I assume Cummings will get the start. I assume that's why they held him out of the Portland game. Because from what I heard, he was healthy enough to play against Portland. He probably just wouldn't have gotten the start. And with another week off, he's already been out for a month and 2 weeks on an injury that people were saying he would be out a month tops for. The ankle sprain. He should be starting, hopefully, with Connor Casey up top. And this will be only the second game of the year that we've seen the Casey-Cummings tandem play. The only other time we saw that happen was against the Portland Timbers. Casey and Cummings have dressed for games together since then. The DC United match, for instance. But they have not yet. They have not played on the same pitch since that first game. The DC match, the 4-1 DC match, is the only one I can think of off the top of my head. Casey and full-on started that one. Then Casey injured his hamstring. Cummings came in for him. So so we'll have Cummings back. No word on Marvell Wynn yet. I haven't heard anything anyway. Having Marvell Wynn would be... It's not particularly a big need to have Marvell Wynn back. Anthony Wallace is healthy, according to the injury report anyway. I made that article a few days ago about... I don't know why he hasn't been playing as much as he could have been. He was injured a few games earlier in the season, but he looked fine. He played a full 90 against Philadelphia. Just seemed to be held out against Portland in favor of Scott Palguda. I guess it worked, putting Palguda in there, but I'd rather see Anthony Wallace's skill set over Palguda's size, since that's really all Palguda has to offer, is he's bigger than Wallace, because Wallace is faster, better service from Wallace most of the time. He's got an assist this year. Neither of them can really... I know Palguda scored that goal against Houston, but that was lightning in a bottle. You're never going to see that again from Scott Palguda. I can guarantee you that. Wallace and Palguda, neither of them are particularly apt at scoring, but Wallace's service is better. So we should have Wallace back against the Los Angeles Galaxy, unless for some reason Gary Smith is just keeping him on the bench for bad performance. I couldn't tell you. Either way, Wallace should be back. Cummings will be back. Even if it's just on the bench, Cummings will be back. And even if it's only for 20 minutes, just the skill of Cummings and Casey should be able to outclass the Los Angeles backline. Los Angeles is... They're mainly dangerous in their midfield. David Beckham, obviously, great player. Still great, even in his advanced years. He... Still some of the best service in MLS. I said before the season started, when Edson Buttle left Los Angeles, I said that Los Angeles was still the best team in the West, even though Real Salt Lake had supposedly come into their own. I said that it really didn't matter what strikers were playing for Los Angeles. You could trot out Johnny Stryker for the Los Angeles Galaxy, and they'd still be getting service from Landon Donovan, and they'd still be getting service from David Beckham, so they would still get their goals. So you could trot out Chad Barrett up at striker. You could trot out Mike McGee up at striker. A really old Juan Pablo Angel. And they're still getting their goals because Landon Donovan's on that team. Fortunately for us, Landon Donovan, still with the United States in the Gold Cup. And Los Angeles, say what you will about superstar players not affecting the league as much as people hype them, but Los Angeles has not been the same team with Landon Donovan out. Two draws in a row against DC and against Toronto. And both of those draws, you could just tell the lack of finishing touch from that team without Donovan in it. Donovan, I think he's the best player in Major League Soccer. I've said that before, I'll say it again. There are obviously other candidates, but I have to give the nod to Donovan. I think Donovan should have won the MVP award last year over David Ferreira, although Ferreira not a bad choice. So, the striker core doesn't worry me too much with Donovan out, especially if Angel is still being rested. I can't remember, I think it was the Toronto game. Angel did not play for most of that match. He came in late, scored a late goal, then Toronto clawed their way back to a 2-2 draw in the dying minutes. That really exciting week last week. Just all the results seemed to come in the last minutes. The Fire beat the Crew in the dying seconds of the game. Colorado, obviously, over Portland. By the way, I have to mention this. I forgot to mention this in the Portland segment. Thank you to the Timbers Army. It's really rare that we get a friendly rivalry in sport in the United States. Most rivalries you'll see in this country, they're the fierce kind. Like the Cascadia Cup, obviously. Colorado versus Salt Lake. Hockey rivalries like Detroit, Colorado, and Boston, Montreal. They always seem to just have a mean rhetoric to it. Buffalo, Miami in football, I guess. Is that even still? That's not even a rivalry anymore. Broncos, Oakland, there's one. So what we're doing, Colorado Rapids fans and Portland Timbers fans, I think it's pretty remarkable. Just the fact that Colorado, I think that might be unheard of in Major League Soccer. Just Colorado traveling, 100 fans, over 100 fans, out to a game that's not in the immediate vicinity. Portland's fairly far away. And I hope we continue this. I hope Portland always travels a couple hundred out to Colorado every year. I hope that we can manage to get 100 out to Portland every year. It's just great to see this sort of atmosphere in Major League Soccer. You weren't seeing that back even as recently maybe 2007-ish. That would have been unheard of. You wouldn't see DC traveling 100 out to see Kansas. That wouldn't happen. So Colorado and Portland's little friendly thing going on. It's really nice. Really fun to see. Portland fans getting along great with Rapids fans. I made a couple of friends when the Timbers Army came out here. I'm so sad that I couldn't make it out to Portland. I heard everyone had a blast. It was great. And I like to see that. But, back to the Galaxy game before I completely lose my train of thought. I'm going to hit 40 minutes after all. What the hell? How am I talking for this long about different stuff? It's the U.S. It's Bob Bradley, man. I could write a novel on Bob Bradley and why the man should get hit by a bus fire. Like a bus that's on fire. That's what he... I don't know where I'm going with this. Galaxy game. That's what I'm talking about. See, this is why we keep Ben and Jed around on the podcast to keep me from going off on a tangent. If they go off on a tangent, then it's okay because I'm still the professional one. So now I'm talking about whatever the hell I want. That's a meme around here. You can do whatever the hell you want. Only Ben will get that joke. But Galaxy prediction for me. It's going to be tough. Colorado only lost two home games last year. We choose to forget about the DC game because it was the Earls, Palguda, Thompson, Amarigua starting lineup. So we don't count that around here. And the only real legitimate game that we lost was against the Los Angeles Galaxy. Well, they were a Supporters Shield team last year. Without Donovan, I think the Rapids can sneak out a win. There should be a big crowd, a big Rapids crowd there at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. This has been a very well-advertised game. There have been a few lies in the advertisement. I've seen some posts that say, come see Donovan and Beckham play, and Donovan's not going to be there, but it should be a good game for Colorado to make a statement. Similar to, they're not going to win 4-1. The Rapids will not win 4-1. There's very little chance of that. Just because the Rapids are still trying to find their offense after several weeks of just impotence out of them in that long draw streak. And they won, but they really only won on the backs of a great defensive effort and a great effort by Matt Pickens. Their goal was a little bit lucky at the end. So this is a Rapids team still struggling to find their offense. Finding it against Los Angeles won't be easy. But without Donovan, I think that Colorado matches up with Los Angeles just as well as any other team in the league. I think they can make a statement. They're not going to whittle away Los Angeles' lead in the West right now. They have, I think, 31 points. And the next closest is FC Dallas at 25. But if they win the game, then they'll leapfrog their way into second place. Just on the back of FC Dallas not having played at that time. And they'll certainly leapfrog Seattle, who they're currently tied with for third/fourth in the West. MLS officially has Seattle at third. The SB Nation MLS power, the SB Nation's table, I guess it is. The SB Nation table currently has the Rapids at third, so it's a wash. Colorado just has a game in hand. So if they win, just they'll probably be up on goal differential they'll probably have goal differential on Dallas as well. That'll help. Either way, Colorado should beat the Galaxy at home just because Landon Donovan won't be there, just because Cummings and Casey will be together again. It's a perfect storm almost of good chances for Colorado here. Probably the first time that the Rapids have been at something that a team that I would call close enough to full strength to be considered full strength. Only one or two players, Mullen, will be missing. Thompson in his place, most likely. Wynn will probably be missing. Marshall's played well enough that missing Marvell Wynn isn't really a deficit to the team anymore. So this team, just about as good as the team they trotted out against Portland in the home opener. The starting 11 that started the MLS Cup last year. So that team versus Los Angeles, I think that they can pull out a 2-1 win. It will be hard fought. There's probably going to be some chippy moments in the game. Los Angeles, they're going to be desperate for a win as well. They're on an 8-game unbeaten streak right now. 4 wins, 4 draws. While Colorado's on a 9-game, 2-win, 7-draw. Feels weird to say 7 draws in a streak. Ooh. Colorado's on a 9-game, 2-win, 7-draw streak. Los Angeles still reeling from that 0-0 draw against DC where they feel they should have won at home. They feel they should have beat Toronto at home where they wound up drawing 2-2 in that last second Toronto goal by, I forgot who scored it, Santos? Garcon? I can't remember. Either way, Los Angeles, they want a win. They're in first place. They have the best points per match right now in Major League Soccer. But they're still desperate to win because you know the Galaxy, they are the best team in Major League Soccer right now, and you know that they don't want Salt Lake to catch up to them and almost steal the shield away like they did last year. Because at the very least, Galaxy were disappointed at not winning the MLS Cup, but at least they got some silverware last year. And if that happens this year, where they don't get any silverware at all, there will be riots amongst the Galaxy fans. Because this is a team that's set up to win now. Filled with aging stars like Beckham, Angel, even Donovan's starting to get up there. What's he, 28? Either way, should be a tough one, should be a good match. It will be a fun match to watch. Colorado-LA matches tend to be fun to watch. The one in LA last year, very fun to watch that one. Maybe it's just because the Rapids have clinched the playoffs on that night and won 3-1. And once again, Casey and Cummings scored 2 of the goals in that match. So it's going to be a fun one to watch. I think Colorado will pull it out 2-1 just because they're at home, just because they finally have some confidence back from that Portland game. You know they want to keep that unbeaten streak going. You know they want to avenge themselves for that loss at home last year. So 2-1's my prediction. I'll say Casey and Cummings both score a goal. Ben's not here to make a prediction, but whatever. It's not like that absolutely nothing prize joke was funny the first time anyway. It's not going to be funny the next 25. That's really all I have to say. I'm sorry that you had to endure only me for 34 minutes. I'm sorry that I managed to find a way to talk for 34 minutes. I'm surprised. I'll see you next week. Hopefully my computer situation is sorted out to the point where my computer's Skype doesn't crash when I start to do a podcast. Hopefully Ben's here. Hopefully Jed's here. Happy birthday again, Jed. Everyone wish Jedediah Bertram on Twitter a happy birthday, even if it's belated. Or get him trending on Twitter, my 16 followers. Ha-ha! All right, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Rapids Thugcast Episode 5. I'll see you next week for Episode 6. Peace, love, and go Rapids!